stands in desperate need of the wisdom which is from above. So here's a question. How are they going to get it? And here's an answer. When we act like we believe in it.
You'll want to be sure to catch the rest of Pastor Terry's message in just a moment. But first, we want to say thanks for tuning in to the Indian Run Christian Church podcast with pastor and author Terry Bailey. This podcast can be found on iTunes by searching for Terry Bailey Ministries in the iTunes store, where you can also subscribe to the podcast and get the weekly message sent automatically to you by clicking the subscribe button. Right now, let's get back to Pastor Terry as he preaches this week's insightful message.
And once again, good morning. People receive different upbringing, but maybe some of you have shared this little bit of parental instruction with me every once in a while, just maybe once or twice or 10 or a dozen or a couple hundred times. In the course of my youth, when my parents perceived that I wasn't trying hard enough, working hard enough, thinking far enough ahead, it always started with a question. The question would be like something like, do you want to graduate high school and go to college? And I would say, well, yes, of course. And then they would follow that up with, then act like it. Act like it's important to you. They would be calling me to task because my recent actions or my recent level of effort did not seem to support the contention that I really did want, value, or prioritize such things. James, the brother of the Lord who wrote the epistle in the New Testament, I believe shared this philosophy with my parents. He says, are any of you wise and understanding? And the phraseology is only slightly different. Let your behavior show it. Act like it. How many of us agree that there is a wisdom that comes down from God that should govern our lives? We need to act like it. How many of us believe that God loves everyone and requires us to learn to do the same? You know what we need to do? We need to act like it. How many of you believe that this world is faltering and time is short? We need to act like we believe such things. Following up on this original sentiment, James shows a difference between a wisdom of the world and the wisdom that comes from above. And the difference is both profound and essential for people of faith. And I'll get a little out of the order in which James presents these things, but rearrange the order in just a little bit so that I think it makes more sense to me, at least. James says that the wisdom of this world is, and he uses three descriptive terms, jealous, guarding that which is your own. Selfishly ambitious. And we need to understand that ambition is not evil in and of itself. You can have an ambition to be pleasing to the Lord. You can have an ambition to be helpful to your fellow man. But selfish ambition is something else. The wisdom of the world is jealous, selfishly ambitious, and arrogant. And he says that these qualities, when they are acted out in our lives, become a lie against the truth of God, which we claim to hold in some repute and regard as urgently important. But when our actions become jealous, selfishly ambitious, and arrogant, they stand as a lie against that truth. I serve God, but I will reserve my money to myself, my time, my whatever else, that is to jealously guard that which I regard as mine. I follow Christ as long as he lets me accomplish all the things that are important to me. I follow him daily as long as he will allow me to end up at the end of the day where I think I wanted to go when I got started. That is to regard my selfish ambitions as more important than his plan. I value the kingdom because I believe that it will bestow upon me authority over you. That is to seek with arrogance a gift God has not promised. When we live in such ways, the testimony of Jesus Christ, which should shine forth from us, is marred. And our life becomes a lie against that testimony. James goes on to explain something about the nature of earthly wisdom that makes it take these directions: jealousy, selfish ambition, and arrogance. And again, he uses three terms, and it is really important for us to get a grip on these. He says, worldly wisdom is, number one, earthly. And if you read chapters 4 and 5, you will come to the definition of what he means by that. He means passing, failing, fading, temporal, turning to rust right in front of your eyes, and dust right underneath your feet. It's all going away. And if we anchor our faith, if we pin our hopes, if we organize our priorities around these earthy things, which are fading even as we watch, then we consign ourselves to go down with a sinking ship. The wisdom of the world is, first, earthly. Second, it is natural. We have a little more trouble understanding that. We have turned the word natural into describing a virtue, which is not at all the way the Bible looks at it. Let's get back to nature. Let's eat food without preservatives. And I'm not criticizing that. That's all fine. But we need to understand what the Bible means when it talks about natural. You know, this is the time of year. I have now for a little over a month been in a running fight with some mice here in the church. Because every year about this time they find their way in, which I wouldn't mind, except that they chew on things you don't want chewed on and leave calling cards where you'd rather they not be, which is almost anywhere. You know, if I could set out a dish of food in a litter box and they would content themselves with that, it might be all right. But that's not the way mice behave. The way they behave is completely 100% natural in terms of the world as it is currently organized, the world with which we have to do. They ruin things. And it's completely natural. Russ, Jim, in just a few months' time, we will be fighting an even more urgent battle against weeds in the vegetable patches. And let me tell you, weeds are completely natural to the world as it is currently constituted and with which we have to do. The world which Paul in Romans 8 says fell into ruin with us when we fell and is bent and warped. But it's the only world we have right now, and everything in it is completely natural, including disease and age and death. And also exploitation and dishonesty and injustice. These things are all completely linked with the natural world, the world which we are to be in but not of. Everyone agreed with me last week that Washington, D.C. is a broken place, but I tell you, it's a completely natural place. And everything that goes on there that so distresses us is completely natural, according to the wisdom of this world. So I just want to tell you this morning, I'm pinning my hopes on a supernatural wisdom that comes down from above. The wisdom of the world is first earthly, that is passing, fading, failing. Second, natural, that is completely caught up in the fallen world system. And it is third, demonic. We know what that one means, but I'm pretty sure we don't take it seriously enough. How many of you have been to safari parks, you know, safari land, drive through, see the creatures up close? I have a bad history with those things. The last one we went to, we went in, they gave Michael this cup of feed, and we barely had the window crack before two deer and a goat were trying to climb into the car. They knocked the thing out of Michael's hand. Some of it spilled inside. Some of it spilled outside. They were equally anxious to get it all. I would have gotten away from them, except there was a buffalo standing in the middle of the road in front of us. The buffalo fortunately diverted his attention to the car ahead of us and went and stuck his head right in the driver's window. I rolled up all our windows. We drove off the road and started seeking our way to the gate before the giraffes could catch up with us. But worse, the ones I have been in with bears. The first one we tried to go to, the bear part of the park, was closed due to, the sign said, an incident. That's a pretty sterile word. Incident. What I can tell you is we drove by the locked cast iron gates and there was an assemblage of bears leaning up against them, putting their paws through the bars. I said, boy, I'm glad we're not going in there. But then some years later, we did go in one with bears. And there were fairly good-sized black bears and a couple of really good brown bears roaming around there. And they all took a great interest when cars started coming through and started moving in that direction like iron filings to a magnet. And there was this big sign, and it said a bunch of stuff that was completely unnecessary to tell me. One was, keep your windows rolled up. No problem. No problem. Put the child locks on. What? And the second was, don't get out of your vehicle. If you think you had to tell me not to get out of the car in the midst of these bears. And the third thing on the sign was, don't feed the bears. Now, I tell you, my problem with the third rule is that they are acting like it was a different rule than the second one. You follow me? Getting out of your car is feeding the bears. Save space on the sign. Don't confuse the issue. I don't go in safari land parks anymore. And I tell you all that so I can tell you this. We are surrounded at all times by evil spiritual forces. And they mean to do us harm. You would be better eaten by the bear. We need to stay in the shelter of the wisdom that comes down from above, or we will be consumed by the wisdom of this world, which is earthly, natural, and demonic. But there is a wisdom which comes from above. And I first thought about doing a little bit of a definition of each of these terms and decided that wasn't the way to go. You'll understand them well enough without my doing that. That wisdom is pure, peaceable, gentle, reasonable, merciful, unwavering, without hypocrisy. And it produces in the lives of those who exercise it good fruit. Now, rather than try to define each of these terms and phrases, let me just do it this way. How many of you look at the world around and say, here's a place that could use some purity? How about, here's a place that could be blessed with a little peace? How many of you believe that this world could be more gentle than you have found it to be? How many of you believe that it is at its core unreasonable? How many of us have found the world to be often without mercy? How many of us believe the current establishment could be improved by being less fickle? That is, more unwavering. How many of you have discovered that this is a world where people put on masks and try to fool you about who they are? That's called hypocrisy. Well, we all agree. The world stands in desperate need of the wisdom which is from above. So here's a question. How are they going to get it? And here's an answer. When we act like we believe in it. When our lives bear out the testimony of Jesus Christ and manifest the pure, peaceful, gentle, reasonable, merciful, unwavering, non-hypocritical, good fruit-bearing wisdom of God. And they can see it in us. They will at least have a chance. But if our lives constitute lies against the very truths of God, then the world is hopelessly lost. We need to go forth into this world that is currently caught in an earthly, natural, demonic wisdom. that produces jealousy, selfish ambition, and arrogance. And we need to live before them the wisdom which comes from above. And if you read again the last couple of chapters in the book of James, you will come across this. If any of you lacks wisdom, there's a way to get it. Ask God for it, and He will give it to you. The pure, peaceable, gentle, reasonable, merciful, unwavering, without hypocrisy wisdom that comes from above, and it will produce in your life good fruit. If you have not asked for that wisdom, I cannot imagine why you would wait. And God will give it to you for the asking.
We want to take a moment to thank all of you, our faithful listeners, for setting aside time each week for the Indian Run Christian Church podcast. You can find out more about the church by visiting our website at www.christforeastcanton.com. That's www.christforeastcanton.com. On behalf of Pastor Terry and all the folks at Indian Run Christian Church, I pray God's blessing on you and your family.